Hi, this is Rod Murray, and you're listening to Rod's Pulse Podcast number 5, a podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create their own podcasts. As promised, I'll be interviewing several folks at the Blackboard World Users Conference in San Diego. Today's podcast is all about the Blackboard content system. Okay, let's get started. I'm here in the San Diego Convention Center in the midst of Blackboard World 06. Fortunate to have Peter Van Tienen here, who's Director of Solutions Engineering. He's agreed to be interviewed here. I have some questions for him about the Blackboard content system. First, Peter, I wonder if you could just give us a little bit about your background and how you came to Blackboard.
Sure. Thanks, Rod. So I've been with Blackboard now going on 5 years. Before joining Blackboard, I was the Director of Academic Technologies for Seneca College up in Toronto, a large Blackboard client with 100,000-plus users, including using the content system. And they've recently just created a free building block that enhances some of the features of the content system, too. So that'll be publicly available coming soon.
That's great. I was wondering, if I was a faculty person at Jefferson, what benefits would I see from adding the content system?
Sure.
You know, I'm not interested in the technology and what's behind the scenes, but how would it benefit me as a faculty person?
Sure. Probably the first and foremost that we talk about with faculty is the fact that if I'm teaching multiple sections of a course, I can have my content stored in one central location and be pushed into all of those sections of the courses. So if I make an update to a document in one area, it is automatically pushed and updated in all of the courses. And then I'm building on that. I can use web folders to access that content through the web at any time. And it's just much easier to manage and maintain my course content.
What's a web folder? What do you mean?
So web folders are, once I have the documents in the content system, I open up what we call as a web folder, and that just means that, like using a folder on my hard drive, I can drag and drop, I can open and close, modify and save documents. So if I open up a Word document in Word, it opens up right from the web folder, it works in Word, I save the changes, and they're written back to that web folder. So any course that's pointing to that document is immediately and automatically updated.
That sounds pretty useful. Are there any other features that... is this going to change the way I normally work in Blackboard? I've used Blackboard now for a couple of years. Is this going to change the way I do things?
So one of the things that we wanted to strongly focus on is not changing things for faculty and using the content system and others. So the way that you add content today, if I add a PowerPoint presentation or a video file or an external website, is the exact same process. Once you install the content system, you have the option now when you add content, you can browse your hard drive like you normally do, and then there's a second option that says I can link from a content collection being a folder on that content system. And I can link to content that's mine, or it's course-based, or it's organization-based, or it's institutionally-based. It can be shared across all of Thomas Jefferson.
I'm going to switch hats now and pretend that I'm a student. If I was a student using the Blackboard system, assuming the university has given me storage space on the content system, how is this going to affect my life?
So similar to faculty, students can have their own public space, and they're given a quota, so you can give them 20 megabytes or 100 megabytes. And that means that they can store all of their personal documents there, whether that's for a project, whether that's for sharing with other students. They can then compile those documents, share them with other students, maybe do group work, project work. They can share that with a course. They can share that with an organization. They may be a member of a club or a committee. Students also, one of the powerful areas of the content system, can use our ePortfolio application. And that means that they can now create a portfolio that may be their resume for a job, that may be a portfolio for a particular project, may be recommended readings for a course in the library. And they can, through a wizard, create a portfolio that is pulling all of the documents that they have within the content system plus others. And that's a big tool. And then there's other things like integrating library systems to access journals and articles online, and there's a component which we call a learning object catalog that means now faculty and people on campus can reuse and share documents in a number of different ways and tag them in different ways and search against them in different ways.
Well, that was, you anticipated my last hat I was going to wear, which is a librarian. So how would this, can it be used to manage e-reserves? Is this how it would be used?
So particularly for libraries, we've built an e-reserve system. every course automatically gets an associated e-reserve folder in the content system, and that means that the library team can drag and drop and add and put content, copyright clear that content, into folders. The faculty don't need to worry about where it's coming from, and they just literally have to point to the folder, and the library teams can manage and take care of that automatically.
I think I saw something at the meeting here about copyright clearance center. Mm-hmm. How does that fit into this? Is this a separate building block, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a separate building block through the Copyright Clearance Center that, as an institution, you can subscribe to the Copyright Clearance Center. And then if you have a document that you would like to use in a course, you can have it vetted through the Copyright Clearance Center through the building block. So it's direct from the Blackboard system to the Copyright Clearance Center. Now, of course, there's a charge associated with that because they're a third-party company. But that means then that if the library is not copyright clearing certain materials, individual faculty can, in fact, go and copyright clear them through that system as well.
One last hat I'm going to wear, and that's as an IT person. How is this going to make our job in IT easier? Is this going to save me time and trouble?
Of course. So there's obviously the economies of scale, so that as an IT person, let's say that I'm teaching, a faculty member is teaching five sections of a course, and today I have five copies of everything in each of those courses. So I've now 5x the documents. In the content system model, I can have centralized content and literally have five courses pointing to that centralized content. From a technical perspective, even if I have, say, a 300 megabyte video file, and I share that or copy that video file, it actually only stores the delta difference in the size of the document. So I may have 20 versions of that video out there, but only one major copy of it, so I'm sharing a lot of disk space. Plus, I can also now distribute where my storage is. So I can have multiple network storage areas where I can have this scale in different ways. I can distribute my load across the campus of where I'm storing and accessing content. And it's just a way that I can centrally manage. IT departments are also looking at the content system and saying, we can use that as a tool. So you can create institutional folders, and within those folders, IT departments, business departments, registration can be using those to share and distribute their documents either internally in their own departments or to their clients like teachers and students and everyone else on campus.
That actually was something you said reminded me of a need we have on campus for our researchers. Right now, when a researcher wants, especially like a geneticist, might be wanting to send a gigantic file to a colleague across the country, right now they have to go through a pretty complicated process to set up an FTP account and create a guest account for the colleague. Can this be used? Can the content system be used in a secure way to for this purpose, for a researcher to share files?
Sure, and there's actually a couple ways that we can do that. One of the common uses of our ePortfolio engine is to share research. And so as a faculty member, I'll create a portfolio that is my research and all of my my documents associated, and I can create what's called a pass externally to that ePortfolio. And so once I create the pass, then I can email that pass to any of my colleagues. They can click on the link. There can be an additional password if you as a faculty want to add that, and then it opens up the ePortfolio locally on that other user's machine. They don't have to have an account on your system. They don't have to have security. It only opens up the ePortfolio. And you can also do that document by document. And so if I just have a PowerPoint that I want to share with somebody, I can create an external pass, which is just a URL, click, and it opens the document across the web without having to log into that system.
Well, I wanted the content system before I interviewed you. Now I really want it. So let's hope we'll be seeing that soon at Jefferson. I want to thank you very much, Peter, for giving your time, and I really appreciate your comments.
You're welcome.
Look for us on the podcast.
Well, that was Peter Van Tienen, and I think he gave a good thumbnail of what the content system is all about. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to give me a buzz or send me an email, rodney.murray@jefferson.edu, or leave a comment on my blog. Next time up in our podcast, we'll be interviewing some vendors who have some very interesting products that capture lecture content and even produce a podcast as an offshoot. That's it for this week's podcast. We'll see you next time. Have a good week.